Morning. We've got three scripture readings this morning, and the first is from the first chapter of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Second reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9 through 14. And Isaiah says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going after your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Finally, our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work, on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Before I go on, I just want to share something that I was feeling in the prayer time. Just a sense of feeling overwhelmed with being asked to pray for things. When Faith and I first came to serve this church about 8 months ago, I was very aware that we were coming to this church in a time of national crisis. And I think a part of me thought that there would be a resolution at some point, or things would slow down, but it seems like things are getting faster. And being asked to pray, being asked to offer up prayer concerns, especially since I don't have a ton of really terrible things happening in my life that I personally need prayer for, it's just this overwhelming feeling of, God, like I could just list hundreds or thousands of things. I could just keep asking for prayers. And it's just overwhelming to think about all the things that I feel like our city, our country, our world needs prayers for. And so at least for me, like it's easier to stay silent. It's easier not to ask for prayer. And I don't know what to do with that, because I think we should be praying. I think we should be asking for prayer. But I just want to share that's sort of where I'm at with being asked to pray for things right now. It feels like a lot. And yeah. So Jesus was in the synagogue and he was teaching. And just then, as he's teaching, he sees a woman who's been suffering from a spirit that's crippled her for 18 years. She was deformed and hunched over. She was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over. He called her right to the front where he was teaching. And he said to her, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." And then he laid hands on her and blessed her. And immediately she stood up straight. And she began praising God. So for 18 years, she had been waiting for this. 18 years of pain and disability. 18 years of wondering why God allowed her to be afflicted in this way. 18 years of believing that things would always be this way. But even as the woman was shouting her praises and thanking God and glorifying God in the presence of everyone in the synagogue, the pastor had something to say. The pastor had something to say because the woman's healing didn't take place in the right way. This act of liberation didn't take place according to the rules. The blessing that Jesus performed, the laying on of hands and the healing that followed, in the mind of the pastor of this synagogue, that was work. And this was the Sabbath, a day on which no work is to be performed. So the pastor had something to say. But interestingly, he didn't say it to Jesus. He didn't directly confront the man who had gotten him so upset. It says that instead he turned to the crowd and kept saying to them, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath." Didn't you get the memo, brothers and sisters? This is not NAM. There are rules. You don't just come to the synagogue any day you please and ask for healing. The Sabbath is for rest, not for being healed. The Sabbath is for worship, not for liberation. The Sabbath is for the teaching of the law, not for the practicing of it. It's just like the Torah says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. You might have heard of it, the Ten Commandments. Here's what it says. 6 days you shall do labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. This is a day of rest, says the pastor. Obey the word of God. Follow the rules, just like Moses taught you. Come some other day to be healed, not the Sabbath. Everything in good order. Needless to say, Jesus disagreed. The pastor may not have wanted to speak directly to Jesus, But Jesus was just fine confronting him in his own synagogue. And this is one of those places in the Bible where I think it's fair to say that Jesus was angry. Here's what Jesus says. "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" So if your livestock deserve to be watered on the Sabbath day, surely it's okay for God to do a little healing, a little blessing, a little liberating of those who are in bondage under the weight of Satan's yoke, don't you think? Because you see, Jesus remembered the whole passage. Jesus remembered the whole text from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus remembered the next verse where it says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep this Sabbath day." Remember that you were in bondage in the land of Egypt. Remember that the Lord God brought you out from there with his mighty hand. Remember what God has done for you and how he's healed you and set you free. And therefore, because he has set you free, because he has liberated you from Satan's yoke, because he has delivered you from physical and spiritual affliction, therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day as a day of rest so that everyone may experience that liberation. Your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the resident aliens living among you, even the animals. God has liberated you from slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. He's liberated you from bondage to violence, greed, and empire. Therefore, let all experience that rest and peace, that freedom and wholeness that comes from God, our liberator. In our reading from Isaiah this morning, we hear a little bit about this therefore. We hear from Isaiah what the God of Abraham considers to be true religion. We hear about the fast, the Sabbath that the Lord requires. What is it? Isaiah says it's this: to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. The Lord God of Israel says, if you remove the yoke from among you, if you feed the hungry, if you heal the afflicted, if you cease to speak evil and stop pointing fingers at your neighbor, if you loose the bonds of injustice and release the prisoners from their chains, if you turn your eyes away from yourselves and see the needs of others, the Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your needs. He will restore you and heal the city where you live. He will make you whole. That's the Sabbath of Isaiah. That's the Sabbath of the God of Israel. He says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the Sabbath of Isaiah, the Sabbath of Jesus, when we turn from ourselves, when we turn from our own pursuits and personal interests, and seek instead the good of those around us, the good of the weakest, the poor, the most marginal. When we look to the needs of others, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, That's the Sabbath of God. There's no condemnation on the Sabbath, only healing. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be free from bondage on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day is a day of exodus. It's a day of rest, of liberation from overwork, from anxiety, from trauma, from oppression. It's liberation from the bondage of our own self-centeredness. It's the freedom that comes when we become channels of God's love for others. We're set free. So free that we forget our sins, and so does God. And when Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing in all the wonderful things that he was doing. We should rejoice too, because we need this liberation. We need to be freed from the kind of religion that's more about our own righteousness than about God's power. We need to be released from the crippling fear and self-centeredness. We need to be freed from the anxiety that keeps us from looking outward with love and compassion to the people around us. We need God to heal us from a worldview where we worry ourselves to death about keeping score and feeling pure. By receiving the word of Jesus, the word of Isaiah, the word of Moses, God invites us to live in peace with those around us, to engage the world with love. I'd like to close with the words of the prophet Isaiah, who says it better than me. Is this not the fast I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am."